The athletic director for Boise State is joining us, as he does every Thursday from 5 o'clock until he feels like leaving. And today, Kurt Apsche joins us here in studio. Kurt, it's good to see you. How are things the last week or so? Not too bad from what we could tell on the bowl front.
Yeah, doing great. Appreciate you guys having me. It seems like it was a long time ago, but I think this is my first time in your station, so I feel right at home. It's good.
We're just happy you came back after last week, so...
I appreciate it.
Let's get right to the issue about the Poinsettia Bowl and that, you know, this was something that Boise State wanted. This was something the Poinsettia Bowl wanted. What's the process? How does it go, you, the president, the coach? Mm-hmm. Who talks to who? You go wandering in the hallways? You have a meeting?
Yeah.
How does it work?
Well, I mean, obviously, one of the first conversations I have is with Coach Harsin just to kind of get his take on what he's looking at.
Is that a formal thing? Is that,
I think so.
Talk to you,
yeah.
Close the door, we
got absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. He certainly has some say in it. But in terms of determining where and who you play and all that kind of stuff, that's really between the ADs, the conference office, usually the bowl or bowls that you might be considering or who you visited with, and then obviously ESPN plays a big role in that as well. And, you know, at the end of the day, ESPN takes all these bowls that they own, many of which we're contracted to in the Mountain West, and they kind of give us, sometimes they give you an option, sometimes they don't, but you certainly express your interest on where you'd like to be. And from the very beginning, really towards the end of the season, San Diego had reached out a number of times to say, hey, we're really interested in Boise State, and they were down in San Jose actually at the football game. It was great to see them down there, and so... We kind of knew going into that last game and then after where we might go, but we certainly didn't know at that time, you know, who the opponent might be. So it was good when we found out we're going there and playing Northern Illinois. And you'd mentioned Sean was on either earlier or yesterday or something.
So, this afternoon.
We've had a couple correspondences, haven't actually met him or had a time to talk to him yet, but looking forward to meeting him down there. And it's a great opponent. We're excited.
When you say it's important to sit down with Coach Harsin and find out his take, what was his bowl wish list this year?
Well, I think you know his bowl wish every year, what it is. And obviously, midway through the season or late midway, it was pretty obvious to us that we weren't going to get a chance to play in one of those bigger bowls. And, you know, at that time, it's really hard. With two or three games left, I mean, you just don't know because some teams aren't even bowl eligible yet. And where's the pecking order? And this was the year where the Mountain West contracted with Las Vegas to substitute the Mountain West team with BYU. And I think in 19, that's Hawaii. And so
right. You
just don't know. I mean, you really don't know. I think you have your preferences. You know, Boise could have been an option as well. And so it just depends kind of on where things fall and how teams are made eligible towards the end of the year. And then this year, obviously, you throw the wrench in at 5-7. And that was really what the waiting game was all about. I mean, it was just so much across the country where you really didn't know where the 80 teams were coming from and we certainly didn't know that, you know, three or four weren't going to be able to get in to make the 80 teams. So they started having to go back and look at 5-7. So it was just a different year in terms of who was playing where. And I think that's really one of the reasons you saw so many late announcements of games and who was going to be in them. So
Kurt Apsche joining us. It's Ask the AD every Thursday at 5 here on Sports Radio The Ticket, Caves and Prater with Kurt Apsche, Boise State's athletic director. I want to ask you this about Brian Harsin. It was a tough season at times. They're not conditioned to losing twice at home. I've heard that he is his own worst critic, that he is very hard on himself. There's times where I look at him, Kurt, and I think, have you slept? You know, I look at him and think, have you slept? How much have you slept?
Yeah.
And I know, I can see the intensity. Everything's thought out and all of that. Do you take moments to let him know he's appreciated or they're going in the right direction? Or how do you cultivate that kind of relationship? You've known him along the way here, but this is a different relationship for the both of you.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm new at this, you know, but when I was here before, obviously very close to Coach Pete, it really wasn't that much different. I mean, you guys, you know this in particular because you played there. And so you kind of know what this group of people over in that building go through every day during the season. And so I have never questioned one day, one minute, one second, whether or not Brian Harsin and our coaching staff and our team are doing everything they can do to prepare for a game. I've never questioned that, and I never will, to be honest with you, because I see what they go through. And I know how much time it takes to be prepared. I know how much time it takes for them to look at tape and make sure that they're doing all the things that they have to do to get ready for Saturday. So, you know, when they lose, I mean, it hurts me because I see it close up maybe more than most people do. But, I mean, imagine those guys. They're spending hours and hours trying to get ready to play a game and play at the highest level. And when it doesn't go the right way, I mean, believe me, those guys hurt more than anybody. And so I really make it a point not just to go in when they're winning. You know, when they're losing, I think that's when it's even more important for me to go in there and, you know, whether it's just a darn hug down the hallway, but more than anything, just to say, hey, I'm behind you all the way.
And you're on the road, so you, I mean, right away? Boom.
No question. Yeah, I try to meet him every game right after as he's walking off the field. And, you know, sometimes I think based on what happened, maybe there's a time where I just need to lay off a little bit, 5 or 10 minutes and wait. But I try to get in the locker room with the team because I want to be around those guys, win or lose. And that I think that's important for our team and our program to know that it's not just the coaches that care about whether or not they're winning and losing. I mean, that hits home with me a lot. And being around that team, I think, just personalizes it more. And I think it's important, like I said, whether it's good or bad, that the athletic director is standing right there waiting and shaking their hand and saying good job, win or lose. And because I know that regardless of what the result is on that Saturday, that next week they're going to be completely focused again. And I know we're getting their best effort, and they need to know that.
We always hear that the coaches and athletic directors meet after the season to, you know, evaluate the program. And it always happens, or it should happen, whether you're winning or losing. You always hear about it in the media when it's a losing program. But I'm assuming you'll sit down and have that meeting with Coach Harson. Do you have that after the regular season? Have you had that already? Do you do it after the bowl game? And what will your approach be? I mean, you just kind of pick his brain and listen to him? Or will you sit down and say, you know, as one boss to an employer like we all do, one, two, three, here's two or three things I'd like you to take a look at and kind of give him some constructive criticism?
Well, certainly I wait until after the season, and I think the meeting goes, you know, pretty much like we do a kind of an overview of what happened during the year and what was good and where we think we need to work on. And I don't really question the football part very much. I think where I can help these coaches is I can share with them some experiences just about how they work with people and how they work with their coaches and their method of managing a big group of people. And I'm not the expert, but I think I'm more helpful in that realm. I don't go in and say, hey, you know, I think you need to run the ball more. I mean, that's why we hired him. He's the one that needs to know that, and he's perfectly comfortable with that. I think one good thing that leaders do, and like I said, I'm learning, but the evaluation for me should be more about a celebration, because if you're having a problem with somebody over the course of the year and they're just hearing about it at the end of the season, I don't think that's good for anybody. So Brian and I have had many, many conversations. And believe me, like I said before, he's the first one to point out weaknesses in our program. And it might not even be about him. It might be we got to get stronger in this area, or, you know, we've got to have some conversations with these people, or maybe we need to approach our summer workouts differently. And we'll have all those conversations, and most of it will probably be, to be honest, him telling me what he needs to do to get better. That's just the kind of coach he is. And so I want to support that. I'll certainly give my input on how I think we might find ways to just manage our football program overall better. I think everybody can get better at that, no matter who it is or how long you've been coaching. You know, being a leader takes time to be good at it, and it's hard to be a good leader. And I think everybody can learn, and I'm not just talking about Coach Harson. I'm talking about myself as well. So,
all right. Question for you, and visiting with Kurt Apsey, ask the AD here on Sports Radio the Ticket. This was put out by Emmert at the NCAA IMG symposium that they did the other day about bowls, Kurt, and really, I don't think he was hinting at, do we have too many bowls, number one, and number two, you know, what are the purpose of bowls? Mm-hmm. So you've been on marketing side. Now you're the athletic director. You've been an athlete yourself who's been a part of championships. So what are your thoughts about what's the purpose of this bowl stuff?
Well, for me, bowl games are, you know, I look at them as postseason. And so this is just one guy's opinion. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I think a bowl game should be a celebration of a successful season. And in my own opinion, I don't think it's right for teams in any sport to be able to participate in the postseason with a losing record. That's just my own opinion. Now, people will say, well, you know, what about basketball? They're 14 and 16 and they got into the tournament. Well, in my mind, they kind of earned it in the postseason because they went to a conference tournament, you know, probably seeded 8th, 9th, or 10th. And
right.
They upset two or three teams, and they're the Cinderella. I mean, we see it all the time, and that's great. But mm-hmm. in college football, you don't have that opportunity. There's not a playoff format. There's not a conference tournament. You know, there's a championship game. But, again, those teams earned their way there. So I'm just not a fan of a team getting into the postseason with a losing record, regardless of what sport it is. That's just me, though, and maybe some other folks have different takes on that. But I think that the 5-7 thing that happened, hey, there's three teams out there that are celebrating right now that they get 15 more practices. I think you guys were talking about it yesterday, and so
right.
it's awesome for them that they get a chance to do that. I'm not a fan of being able to participate in the postseason when you have a losing record. That's just not something I believe in. So
Commissioner Thompson the other day stood up and called it a travesty that he's got two of his bowl members or mm-hmm. two of his members playing in a bowl game. And then you just said that you think that we should go away from the losing records. Would you talk to your other athletic directors, and would you go as far as to go to Commissioner Thompson and say, as the Mountain West, let's get rid of one of our bowl games. Let's get rid of that bowl game tie-in. Let's cut back on bowl games, and the Mountain West will do its part by eliminating one. Because your job, technically, is to get as many of your teams as a league mm-hmm. into a bowl situation as possible, so there's a disconnect there. Yeah. At one point, somebody's going to have to make some hard decisions.
Yeah, well, if you're going to get rid of bowls, I'm certainly not going to vote for getting rid of the ones that we're contracted
with.
And I think, you know, every AD across the country will tell you that.
Absolutely.
So, but I think that's one of the challenges that whatever you want to call this group, I guess the bowl committee, and, you know, they'll have input from athletic directors and conference commissioners and presidents, and everyone will give their opinion. And there really is no, at least in my opinion, there's no magic formula on how you're going to fix this. You're either going to have to get rid of games, or you're going to have to eliminate the amount of teams that can make it. I mean, unless there's some magic formula out there that I don't know about, it's really not that hard to figure out. And so I don't know which way they'll go. Maybe they'll look at, you know, the newest bowls or bowls that could potentially be blacked out. Or they might say, you know, if you're 6-6 looking in, you know, maybe we throw your name in a hat and you get in. I mean, who knows? I mean, there's just 100 ways you can do it. I just know this, that there's either too many bowls or there's too many teams. And so you've got to get rid of one of them to make that work.
Seems like if you get rid of teams, then the bowls are going to have to go away because there'll be nobody to play in them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And hey, I'm not the expert. I'm just a guy that's followed football, college football for a long time. And, I can go back to the 5-7 thing. I mean, I just, you know, from a postseason standpoint, I think you got to earn it. And when you're 5-7, to me, that's not a successful season. And I don't think teams should be rewarded for that.